Thank you, Father. We come to you. We thank you, Lord, for this time of receiving your truth. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are present, that if we were to take attendance, you would have to say present because you're here, and you're not here for no reason. You're always here to do something special in the lives of your people. So I pray, God, blessings upon each and every one as we receive the word of God tonight, that we'll be different. God, help us to see what you've called us to do. Help us to be faithful in that which you have called us to be, and help us to be able to know your voice. You said, your sheep know your voice, so we should be able to hear you. And so we thank you, God, for that. Call the blessings of God upon this service and all that's involved. In Jesus' name we call it done, and everybody said amen. Why don't you greet a couple of people and say hi before you be seated, and let them know that you're glad to see them here. It's a blessing. Come on, these are your brothers and your sisters in the Lord. Praise God. All right. You may be seated. Let's get ready to receive what God has for you tonight. Better? Okay. Praise God. You want to start this out? You want to talk about what we want to talk about
yes,
tonight?
Yes, I don't have my iPad today, so I can see you better. Okay. Aren't you glad to be in God's house?
Amen.
Thank you, husband. Appreciate the help.
Okay.
All right.
Pull that.
Yeah, just pull that. All
right.
Closer to me.
So tonight we're studying again in this book of Romans. Romans, the first chapter. We have just started this, and we want to be able to give ample time for what
yes.
we're studying tonight so that you can gather it in your hearts
yes.
and be able to put it together and utilize it. Now, everything that we study, everything that we read, we got to learn how to get something out of it. If it's in the Word, we need to grab a hold of whatever God is saying in that Word to be able to utilize it for our lives. Amen?
All right.
So let's
Amen.
Do that. Let's
now,
do that.
We were reading in Ephesians, but let's set it up again before we go to the book of Ephesians. And I think we had a reader, so do you want a reader or
sure.
do you want...
Sure, who would like to read tonight? Do we have a reader in the house?
I forget.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, it was you last time, Kyle?
Yeah. Okay.
So, Kyle, if you could just go ahead and read Romans chapter 1, verse number 1, and just read it all the way down to, read all the way down to 3. So verses 1 to 3, and then we're going to deviate and go to back to Ephesians, and so we'll have you read that too.
Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle.
Now circle or highlight or underline the word apostle, because that's where we're going to go to the book of Ephesians, and we're going to talk tonight about the fivefold ministry gifts. That's what we call them, but you'll see them in the Bible. It's very important for you to know that. And also, you want to highlight, circle, or underline the word called, because that's important too.
That's right.
Okay, go ahead.
Separated to the gospel of God.
Go ahead.
Which he promised before through his prophets in the holy scriptures.
Go ahead.
Concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh.
Okay, now let's go to Ephesians because, God sent his son Jesus Christ on this earth, and he came in a physical body like we have.
Right. And so we want to be able to talk about what happened here with Paul. How many remember the road to Damascus it literally was Jesus speaking by way of the Holy Spirit to Paul, who was known as Saul, and of course he was persecuting the church. Now we see a lot of persecution going on here in the United States right now. We haven't seen this in a long time. We haven't seen it really like this for me. I haven't really seen it this bad, where people are literally just saying, I hate the church, I hate Jesus, I hate God, I hate you. We're seeing this now in other nations, of course. We have seen this for many years in many places. You know, if you go over to the Middle East or you go over to Africa or you go to some of the other nations of the world, you will find that people are very against the things of God and against God. And, you know, and a lot of times there's persecution, there's murders and all kinds of things that go on just because of the cause of Christ. Now, we're not used to that here in the United States, but this kind of thing is heating up. Now, it's not political, even though it seems like it's political. It is spiritual because the enemy does not like what you stand for and what you say. Did you hear what I just said? The enemy does not like what you stand for or what you say. So you have to understand that when you speak, and let me say this to you, you speak without saying things, just the way you are, the way you live, the way you smell, okay? And some of us don't realize that Christianity or the gospel has a fragrance to it. And there's two fragrances to the gospel. I'm not going to go to the scripture right now. In Corinthians, it says there's one that's a fragrance unto life everlasting, and there's one to the fragrance of death. And people that do not know God, when you come around them as Christians, they can sense that scent of their own demise because of the Jesus that's in you. So sometimes we don't even know why people don't like us, but really it's because they can, and it's not an actual fragrance that you smell with your nose. You sense it with your spirit. And their spirit can sense your spirit that you're part of and being guided by the Spirit of God. You got to know that, okay? And for whatever reason, they cannot stand you because of who you stand for. Now, there's no reason for you, you know, and this is the conversation of the day anywhere in America right now. There's no reason for you to back down. You should not back down. Jesus didn't back down. He went all the way to the cross, suffered bozos, you know, hitting him and pulling his beard and putting a crown of thorns on his head and all this stupid stuff that didn't do anything to stop him from what he was doing anyhow, because Jesus had made a decision in the garden, because that's where the decision had to be made, just like you need to make a decision in your garden. Got a garden? You need to get out there and make a final decision that you're going to follow the calling of God. Now, you got to get what I'm saying. It's not just apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher that is called. We have all been called, and I showed you last time, Pastor Don Jr., preached about it also, about this being called out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are all called. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. So when God called you, he called you with life. Did you hear what I just said? Now, this is really important tonight. I want to get this across. I have three different individuals that were called that we're going to look at. We've been delaying for 2 weeks to get to this, but we're going to finally get there tonight. In fact, the tabs are still in my Bible of where they are. I want to be able to go to these places so you can see what the calling is like. But let's do what the first lady said first. Let's go here. Well, let me just brief again. Romans chapter 1, it says, Paul, and I'm reading out of New King James Version, a bondservant or a servant of Jesus Christ. Don't you want to serve Jesus? Don't you, you want to be able to do something to please the Lord? You know, that really makes you feel good when you do things to please God. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called, underline that, circle that, put stars around it, called to be an apostle. You do not go to school to become an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, or teacher. This is where the seminary turns into a cemetery, because dead people that have not been called by God will go to some seminary or some school to try to get a calling, but that's not how you get the calling. You get the calling just by the word. God calls you. Literally, he will call out to you. He will let you know, I want you to do so-and-so.
So the calling is by God. To go to school is to enhance what the calling
right,
that God
the
has
supplement.
Put in. You know, and really, you all, you know, you really should think about that in your own life as you're branching off into careers or you're in a career you hate. Maybe it's just not what you're called to do, you know, because we're talking about a call, the fivefold ministry gift, you know, ministry callings, but really, God has gifted you and have given you gifts and talents to do something in this earth. He said he'd give you power to get wealth.
To get wealth.
So that power is the ability, the talents, the skills. And so you really should pray, even though you're not called as a minister of the gospel, just pray and ask God, you know, what's that bent? And usually I tell people, go back until when you were in third grade, and what did you really like doing in third grade? And you're not going to believe what I used to do when I was in third grade. I would act like a preacher. And I would go to church. Sometimes I would walk to church on my own. The church was just, you know, down the street from where we lived out in California and on the corner, little corner church. And when I come home, I would try to mimic the preacher. And I would get a hairbrush. And I would turn my mom, because, you know, I'm
old school. Had a wash bucket.
They had a wash pan. And you turn it upside down. And I would stand on top of that. I would put my doll babies in front of me. And I would preach to them. Look what I'm doing now.
Y'all are doll babies. We got all these doll babies.
So sometimes if you go back when you were a kid and say, what was your bent? What did you enjoy doing? What did you like, you know, what did you like doing? And so that can, you know, try to help you. And then, of course, going to God and asking God to reveal, what is it that I'm here? Why am I here on this earth? What do you want me to do? Because like we said before, whatever job that you're in that God has placed you in, you need to see that it's not just a job to make money, but it's a place where you should be the light of the gospel there.
Right.
Okay? The
right,
light of Jesus.
Right, right. Now, that calling, God doesn't just call you to the ministry. Even though we're all called, every one of us, we looked at this in the scriptures also, we're all called to the ministry of reconciliation. My question to you, who have you lately reconciled, or who have you ministered to cause to come back to the Lord that you've met or that you know?
I think you should see it like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm out there after church, you know, because you get equipped when you come here. We'll see that in scripture in Ephesians. We're equipping you so you can do the work of the ministry.
And the work is outside
the
church.
So the work is outside
of the church. It's not just ushering and all.
Right. So you're going outside the church, and you're there to compel people to come in, to reconcile. So come on to church, you know, and hopefully believe in God that they'll come to church and receive Jesus Christ or recommit themselves back to the Lord. And then you're a part of that. And God used you to get them back in friendship with God.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, and this is important because we sometimes want to sit back and watch the preacher preach and do all this work and sweat and all this kind of stuff and huff and puff and yell and scream. And then we sit there like we're not supposed to do anything. You have a voice that has a sphere of influence with the people that you know. There's somebody that you will meet that I will probably never meet. They may never come to this church, but you can be able to speak into their lives. And as the pastor of this church, I'm telling you, I give you permission, I tell you now, go and do it, okay? You may be standing in a you know, in the store, in the Safeway, you know, checkout line, and the Lord is saying to you, say something to them. Well, first of all, you should be ready. You should get up every morning looking for God to have somebody for you to talk to. Now, you may not take them all the way and yet, let's pray the sinner's prayer. Now you saved, sister. You may not do that, but you're going to give them some Jesus. You're going to encourage them. You're going to find out where they are. See, because people have needs, you find out what they need, and you know that God will meet those needs. Because in his scriptures, he says, all things are now ready. Well, you're ready, Freddy. You're the one supposed to walk up and talk to him and say, hey, listen, whatever you're dealing with, I can tell you this, God can be able to deal with that. And you may not have ever experienced that. You just know that God is able. Well, it's gone, but it's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power that works in you. So let the power work in you.
I'm going to request that the PowerPoint people get that scripture, because it could be our go-to scripture sometimes when we're not thinking of other stuff or we're just doing something, and they could put God is able on this screen.
Okay.
So anyway, and you could
put we'll use that
filler. A script, you know, God is able, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway,
yeah, make sure
that
that's
just came to my
heart. That's good. Because then you got the word in front of you all the time. Yeah. But here's the thing I'm trying to help you to understand. Wait, there's one me. There's one her. Look at all y'all. If we all would do our calling when God is talking to us, because see, that's, you can't call, okay, all right, I'll give you my phone number, I'll tell you to call me. You can't do that without talking. So when we're talking about God calling, he literally talks to you. Now, I was on a Wednesday. I had been called many times because, you know, I had seen a lot of preachers mess up in the ministry. I grew up in a denomination that was, they didn't have standards. And that's why I'm so strong on myself here at this church as founder of this church. But I did not want to go into the ministry and be a mess up pastor. I didn't want to do it because I saw so many different mess ups, so many, and I actually needed examples that I could respect in ministry in this city, and I couldn't find any. So the Lord told me to get a hold of Dr. Frederick Casey Price, Apostle Price, in California, and go under his covering, because that man was serious about the things of God. Okay? Now, some of you never heard of him. Some of you have been listening to him for years, and he's still, even though he's passed away, he still is broadcasting. They're putting his broadcasts out there still. Because that man was serious. He was serious about his wife and living for God with his marriage and his family and his household. He was just strong on all these things. He was serious about not messing with the church's money. He was serious about just fulfilling his calling. He was serious about taking care of his children. He was serious about so many things that I wanted to be serious about, and I needed an example. Men need mentors. I don't care if you want to be a gangbanger. You're going to get a mentor. You're going to get an OG. That's going to show you how to be stupid. That's right. And you're going to have to prove something. You're going to have to go beat somebody up or go shoot at somebody or do something stupid. You got to be initiated to get in. See, because I needed someone to mentor me spiritually. I wanted to be taken to the high. I wanted to be a Marine for God. I mean, not the proud, but the thankful, the few, the Marines. I wanted to be able to be the first on the bulkhead shooting and killing the enemy. Now, y'all look like you're scared. I mean, if I'm going to do this thing, I'm doing this thing all the way. Because when I was going to hell, I was going all the way to hell. I was going to go under hell. Because ain't no sense in playing either way. So we should be serious about what God has called us to be. And I'm just trying to put a calling out to you. And I pray that God wake you up in the middle of the night like he's done me and done my wife and I over the years. Because, you know, there were several times. I was sitting in a Wednesday night service just like this. And there was a guest speaker at the church that I was going to at the time. And the Lord, you know, he had called me years ago. But I didn't want to fulfill that call because I didn't feel adequate. I didn't feel like I was capable of doing this. You never will. When you start thinking you so adequate and you all that, you probably messed up. Because this takes a serious heart, and you can't do it by yourself. You need God to help you with this. I'm talking about the ministry. I'm not talking about even pastoring. I'm just talking about being serious in ministry. Even for what you're called to do, you're going to need God. You can't do this by yourself. Now, you may want to, but you can't. You need the help of the Holy Spirit. Anyhow, I was sitting in service. Now, this just hadn't happened a whole lot, but I was sitting in the service, and the Lord told me, I've called you to preach, and it'll be confirmed by a dream from your wife tonight. And I turned around and looked at me and said, who said that? Because this calling wasn't just on the inside. I heard it with these. And I looked around. Now, that didn't happen all the time. But I looked around. I said, wow, who's talking to me? And I couldn't believe it. So he had called me again. This time it was a very strong calling. And at that time, I was getting closer and closer to the Lord and leaving all of the stupid stuff. You know how you live your life and you feel it's full of regrets, okay? And all kinds of stupid stuff you had done, you know. And so, you know, I was leaving all that stuff behind, just getting my life totally committed to God. And went home, was getting ready for bed, and I said, I'm talking about callings now. I'm talking about how God will call you. And I said to Kathy about 9:30 at night, I said, and we was just getting ready, you know, putting up the clothes and fixing the room up and all that stuff. I said, you're going to have a dream tonight. She said, okay. Now, that's weird. She don't just say okay to nothing. She's like, give me the detail. What are you talking about? What kind of dream? What am I dreaming about? When? What time is going to come? What time do I quit? I mean, blah, 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 blah. She said, okay. I said, whoa. So we went to bed. And God had called me. I knew he had talked to me. The preacher was preaching while this audible voice, I heard this voice saying, I have called you. The preacher to be confirmed by a dream from your wife tonight. I heard it clear as day. Dr. Nunes, who was a missionary, was here from South America preaching. The man loved God with all his heart. He had preached to so many millions of people down in South America. And, you know, I just respected this old missionary who was in town. And we got some missionaries about to come here that you know, minister to 500,000 people at a time. They're going to be in this ministry coming here to minister. One called today or wrote today, and we're looking to confirm a date right now for next year. But I listened to this man, and I was listening, and all of a sudden I was in. It was 8:45. 15 more minutes, service was over. And I told her when we got home, 9:30, I said, you're going to have a dream. She said, okay. Went to bed. She woke up at 2:30 in the morning screaming, Don, you're called to preach. I said, I know. You called the pastor. You called the pastor. I said, I know. And I asked her, what was the dream? When she told me the dream, it was like I had it. It was that clear to me the way she explained what happened. Now, I didn't have this dream, but I really feel like I had this dream because what she experienced.
Yeah. And I wrote it down, and we still have it written down. We used to give it out to the
new members.
New members.
Yes.
And but we still have it in the files, and
I think
yeah,
we
the
should
whole
start giving it out again to new members.
Yeah.
And part of that dream was that I had come down into the. We lived in a tri-level at the time that we had just built. And I had come down from the bedroom level, which was an upper level, down to the second level of that house, walked, turned left, walked, and looked into the cabinets. And the cabinets were all open, but they were empty. And Kathy was already in the kitchen in this dream. And I said, I'm called to preach. And as soon as I said, I'm called to preach, all of the cabinets were filled with food. It was food that we like, all kinds of good stuff that we, and it represented the word that I would deliver, that God would use me.
He's the bread of life, so
right,
he's
right.
Tied to food. So
and then there was just all of a sudden, because the people were milling around in that area, in the kitchen area and in our house looking for food. But as soon as I told my wife, Kathy, I'm called to preach in that dream.
And there was
bam.
A raw meat steak. Do you remember that?
No.
And,
well, yeah,
and
I
Dr.
do, because I saw that
he
too.
He wasn't an apostle yet. And Dr. Price said, he looked at it, and it was blood all in it. He said,
and it was sitting on the counter,
yeah,
not in the refrigerator.
And he said, what are you doing? He said, and he said that it was like a rebuke to you.
Right.
In the
can't
vision.
Leave this out. This is so important.
No, he said, you have to make sure the word of God was ready, cooked, you know, stuff. So he was giving you instructions.
Because I left it out on the counter. And so all of a sudden the word of God became very important.
Later.
Yeah, that was
that
later.
Was later.
But here's, but there was also in that dream an Asian man that came in to our house through the front door, and Kathy had baked an apple pie. Now, you ain't had a piece of apple pie until you had hers. I ain't told y'all your idea. But yeah, that's part of the reason why I am the way I am. But anyhow, you had no pie till you had hers. Thanksgiving, Christmas, whatever. I told her you need to start selling this stuff. She won't. But anyhow, this apple pie, which represents America and apple pie, Asian man came through the door and had a piece of this pie. And he said, the best apple pie he had ever tasted. And that, again, was we're feeding the nations all over the world. That's why we have these flags in here. Because, see, we're not called to just here. And so we are called to minister to like what we're doing tonight. Yeah, we've been in other places ministering. We'll go to other places. And you should be ready to help us to do that. Because the calling can't be for just Tacoma. It's for going to all the world. Well, the same thing for you. God has called you to affect this world, not just your little us four no more. Your little family, you all need to affect or have a mindset that you want to be part of a vision that affects the world. A world vision. So every one of us have been called. If you're saved, you have been called because you were in darkness, but God called you out of them. You might have thought you did it. You did not. He called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I mean, it's sunglasses every day with God. Because this new stuff that he's doing all the time. Every day there's something that's unbelievable that happens in the kingdom.
Do you want to share something? Big amen. No.
Okay, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4 now. Because we're going to talk about this this calling. And I want you to read 4 and...
can we read 1, establish a calling, and then go from chapter 4, verse 1, and then go to... Read verse 1 and verse 4, if you could.
All right. You got that now?
Kyle?
That's your assignment, son.
Ephesians 4, 1, verse 1, and verse 4. Okay.
I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling.
Now, that word beseech, I mean, that's like a begging almost. I'm begging you. Okay. Go ahead.
To walk worthy of the calling with which you were called.
So it's just establishing once again, it's a calling. It's a calling. Verse 4.
There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling.
Continue.
Yes, I'm sorry. Go to 5.
One Lord.
Mm-hmm.
One faith.
Mm-hmm.
One baptism.
Yes.
Go to 6. Go ahead.
Don't stop unless we tell you to.
One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all.
Now that's powerful.
Now that's where we want to go.
God and through us, in us.
I would suggest that you read this and read this and read this. Just where we went to this in the 6th verse. Just read it to really understand how important what God has done for you is. Now, I want you to look at Ephesians 1 and 18. I'm going to go back.
Okay.
Give me a second. Okay. I got to go over Ephesians 1 and 18. This is important also. The eyes, okay. It says, therefore, verse number 15, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and love for all the saints, love for all the saints, love for all the saints. Do you love all the saints? Or do you pick and choose which saints to love? Sure is quiet in this church.
Saints is sort of a short
it's
term
sanctified
for sanctified.
People. They're set aside
and
by the word.
If you're a Christian.
You're all saints.
You're saints.
Okay. Not just St. Mark, St. Luke, St. John, St. Peter. We're all saints. Everybody understand that? This is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith, I heard you got saved in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes, this is what I'm praying happens, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. You get some brightness in your eyes. You see what's really going on, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, the hope of his calling, I really believe, once you're called, like God called you out of darkness into the marvelous light, the hope is not just your hope, it's the hope that you can give other people. So when you shut up, you are stealing the hope from those that could hear from you and need to be encouraged by you because you just don't feel like you qualify. Ain't none of us qualified. That's why we needed Jesus. So you got to get up on your, you know, faith hind legs and just jump into it anyhow. You got what I'm saying? Because you are not qualified. Can I stop that whole thing? Stop trying to analyze whether you qualify. You ain't qualified. Without Jesus, ain't none of us qualified. The only thing we qualify for is hell. We're not qualified. But in Christ, you're qualified. But he's praying. I'm praying. I do not cease praying for you. What's he praying? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. It's the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the spirit of revelation. That's what you hear when you hear teachings in this church. You hear revelation knowledge where God reveals things to you that were already there, but all of a sudden, whoo, I can see that. That's revelation knowledge. I'm praying that you get that wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Not the knowledge of you and knowledge of everybody else. I know them. I know me. I know them. I know it. I know this. I know that. No, the knowledge, how much do you know him? Because the more you know him, the more you're going to know you and everything else you need to know about you and your family and everything else you need to do. Because if we don't get to know him, we will never know where we need to go. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened that you may know what is the hope of his calling. You need to thank God he called you. People dying every day don't know him. They can't know the hope of his calling. For whatever reason, they never got the call, or if they got the call, they ignored the call. I believe this whole nation right now got a whole group of people that God is finally talking to because it's in the news about being a Christian. I know most of us got our head in the sand. You ain't listening to this stuff. You don't know what's going on. No way. You just don't know. But this whole nation is almost in a full revival mode.
It should be easier for us.
It should be easier for you to share about Jesus. Because everybody's talking about it anyhow. Yeah. Especially young people. And they're bold about it. Mm-hmm. This whole Charlie Kirk thing turned everything around for Christians. You need to be bold as can be. I walk around with my music boldly now.
Well, we've been bold for many years.
But I'm just,
everybody that's been a part of this church knows that.
We need to know there's hope in God calling.
I'm just happy that other people now is catching on to the fire, you know, of God.
Yes.
You know, it's exciting to see people that's excited about Jesus. So it's easier to invite people to church now.
Yeah.
And when you invite them to church, they will have
that's
an opportunity.
Job. That's not my job. My job is to be prepared when they get here.
Yeah, and it's opportunity.
Your job is to get the people here. If you don't see people coming, it's because you're not doing your job. I'm doing mine. When you come up here, I'll go, I got something to say.
And let them know your pastor is really radical. I mean, you're going to have to.
You ain't got to say that no more, Harley.
Yeah, but that's a good thing.
Tell him that he's like Charlie Clark.
Yeah, he's really radical, straight and stuff. Because then that way, I mean, that's what. You know, that's what happened in our country. People are looking for people that's being honest and straight.
They're sick of games.
And we're not changing to be like that. God called us like that many years ago. But I think we should be excited that people want the truth nowadays. And because it's the truth, knowing that truth will set you free. And so we have to want people to be free. And so it should be easy for us to compel people to come in now.
The Spirit of God just told me to tell you. To pray for holy boldness. You need to go home. You need to fast and pray and ask. And that's what, when I was out for them 6.5 years, that is one thing I asked for. I asked for holy boldness. because I was scared of my own shadow. That poison got into my system, and I was scared to go to the grocery store. I didn't want to drive on the freeway. We didn't go on vacation because I didn't like driving. I didn't even want to get on the freeway. I'd take the back roads only. And some places, you can't take the back roads there. I'm trying to tell you that God, now that was the enemy affecting my mind like somebody taking drugs, but I didn't take drugs. They put them drugs in my body without me knowing it. So you have to get bold. God wants you bold. And you're too weak. Yeah, you're consistent with this church, but you got to get bold. And you got to pray, God, give me holy boldness, because it comes from the Holy Spirit. Now, I ain't bold because it's my personality. I'm bold because this is God's personality. This is the personality of the Holy Spirit. Say amen to that. Amen. And so I believe we need to get bold. Already lost that. So what? From you that God don't allow anyhow.
And don't be scared of losing freedom. Because when you are part of a church, you have now a new family.
That's
you
right.
have the family of God.
And you're stupid
and
if
I'm
you don't make this
you guys,
your family.
I try to explain this to you, you know, that really my church family, in many ways, they're a lot of people are closer to me, and I know them better than
yeah.
even my biological family
That's right.
members, some of them. Well, not my biological, my adoptive family.
Well,
so my family that,
not,
adopted
that one don't
me.
Count.
You know, and so some people will, you know, and close type of church and family exhort each other, encourage each other to get some fire, to get excited about Jesus. Go ahead.
Right. I don't want to have you all watch us be bold. Don't come here like you're watching monkeys on a stage and we jump around and do all this old monkey stuff. We ain't here to entertain you. Get your butt in gear. Come on, let's get some fire going up in here. Mm-hmm. I'm serious. And I've been saying this for a while, ever since I came from the dead. I'm trying to tell you, you need to, you know, that much to lose anyhow. I mean, you know, because we're, you know, we still believe it for more. He lost it. You gave it to Jesus. You got no life. Your life is hid in him.
Yeah.
Ain't no sense in acting like you got all this stuff to lose. You ain't got nothing to lose. So what we need to do is not see this in my hope. No, let's read it again one more time now, because I'm talking about a calling. Because every church, I know you've been called, because I know the Holy Spirit is saying something to you. You sure?
And so,
I don't apologize.
No, we don't apologize. Straight.
As is the priest, so shall be the people. Be the people. It's not supposed to be the priest is like the people. It's supposed to be the people like the priest.
Yeah. And I love having a strong pastor.
So if you
I
got
a,
you
it.
Got you, God's
what's the scripture? Quote that scripture.
You know, the kingdom of God suffered all 2 weeks. See, and this is the reason.
We need there's to a take bunch of stuff God waiting for you. We need to take our family members back in prayer. You
family members, I want my car. I want everything
back.
That God
you
gave me.
Your health back.
I'm leaving. See, it's time for us to get bold.
Yeah.
And ain't nobody, you're the only one going to be dead the way it's going in this country right
and
now.
And enjoy the ride. Be depressed or unhappy. We should be the happiest people
you got
on
hope.
Earth. Not Disneyland. Disneyland shouldn't have that kind of.
Disneyland.
This should be the happiest.
You don't have to have magic dust to be happy.
No, the church should really be the happiest place
that's
on earth,
right.
Shouldn't it be?
I can look at your
face.
Because
we have the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Take your mirrors off.
If you guys start being happy, yeah. God, it is going to be easy for people to want to follow you. Think about how Jesus got his disciples. He didn't beg them to follow him.
Nope.
He just said, come follow me. That's what he did.
He treated
and
them like
reading that scripture, and God said there's an anointing on these words of come, there's an anointing on these words of follow me. And when we become bold like that, say, you need to follow me to
that's
church
right.
You need to follow me. But see, oh, the Spirit of God is talking to me right
Revelation
now
knowledge. Come on.
Sometimes we can't be bold because we know we're not living according to the Word of God. According to the Word of God, it'll be easier for you to say follow.
Now we got to understand this.
Say a big amen.
That's good.
That's an
out. So, when you know you straight. When you know you straight up,
and that
boy,
mean,
I tell you, you can sit
perfect.
There, you can just blast it. That's how I am. I know ain't no closet, even for the skeletons.
You're not coming to church to see the church because you're on God's mission, his business, and you're coming to get tanked up, filled up, equipped to do the work of the ministry so you can go out there and be that good soldier.
He's saying
you're in
it
God's
again.
Army.
He's saying it again. He's telling me to tell you, pray for holy boldness. I did, and I couldn't believe what happened to me. I said, God, give me holy boldness. I'm not coming back. I don't want to. When I started coming back, it was 1 year this month. 1 year ago. And man, God done restored everything.
You know, it's
in
a miracle.
Every area.
It's a miracle.
Every area.
You're
I'm
seeing
talking
a walking
about
miracle.
Every area. My mind with my spirit, man. Basically atrophy. I was almost couldn't hardly walk. These my bathtub since January. It had swollen up because I was just sitting for 6.5 years. I couldn't wear everything got affected when they poisoned me. Get healed. Everything. Flying airplanes. Next flights are IFR. Flying instrument only. You know, and I was,
miracle.
I thought I was,
thank God.
I give thought I place. Was what the devil said. I thought. Well, today, the United Parcel Service contacted us from the ministry. One of our sponsors for future aviators here in Seattle. We get to take our kids into the runway from, of course, the Museum of Flight. Our kids are going to They don't want to fly. They can work on in the preparing of the planes, all kinds of different things. There's so many. Now, this is just one area. It's just aviation. But we're going to break out with the on-stage stuff pretty soon. Of what they want to do. They're going to have this. See, you got to get, you know, I hate my job. That's dumb. And let me just, stupid thing about the affect you. I don't.
This is the time, Christians. We want.
Here's what I tell you to do. Cannot participate. You can have all your show rather than a giver. Rather than all this. It starts getting laid off. Contract is bigger. You got to have some faith about this stuff.
Me, a That's thousand right. may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but Fox or the
That's
Cuomo
right.
News or, you know.
It ain't coming to you.
So it's not coming to me.
Now, I helped me taking us through the all the downturns and all the recession. Around here, he would remember. Of course, there's I'm taught you, and I'm teaching you now. You don't live off the economy of this earth. You live off the economy of heaven. So when the world wants to have a recession, you let them just go on and have it. Stopping you. You can have.
You know,
you can talk your recession all you want to, and go get in the unemployment line. Nah, some of the biggest opportunities we got was when the economy was going down.
Well, let me say this.
But it ain't
let
going
me warn
anyhow.
You though, because some of you don't need it, because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God.
Don't
so
keep
you need
watching
to hear
that stuff.
Or live stream or whatever, because the Bible says the cares of this world will come in and choke the word.
Yes. Things
but you,
enter in
and
choke the word.
And we're trying to give you some tools, but you have to remember this. And the Lord spoke to me. Says, the Lord is my shepherd. In Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That means, that word want means lack, I shall not go without. I shall not lack, and I God. Come on, you, because God is your shepherd. No matter what the economy or no matter what they're saying, God is your shepherd.
Man.
So our faith need to stay in us through this. Through this crazy time, just like he did with COVID. All that fear, and we came to you guys, we said, don't fear, don't waver.
You ain't dying.
So, praise God. Okay,
did
we're
you
got,
die?
We got about 10
did
minutes.
Did you die? No, you did not, because God protected. But it wasn't you. No, let me finish this. Let me say this. It's important for you to realize that death and life, as was just said, is around people that's only talking life. You get around stupid talking people, you start talking stupid. Now this, and I'm going to talk politics for a minute. This so-called shutdown in this country, you need to understand this too, because my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You just don't know. It is actually an attack the other party to make the president look bad. I know, get quiet.
In counseling, let me tell you what that
help you. We need to vote. But they don't vote in heaven. Lord of Lords, they ain't thinking about your vote.
Sometimes,
in fact, in the book of hungry, I wouldn't ask you. That's what God says in the hungry, I wouldn't tell you. God says that. He don't need you. But you are not supposed to participate in this. Now, I don't care how bad it gets. Because they fight and they hate each other's guts.
That, and this is what I see going on. And see, and that's what things try to punish, you know, even our, when we're, you know, you're married and see, you're trying to, you know, punish the other person for something that you don't like about the other person, or you're upset. Yeah. And, you know, and there's, I thought about it. I said, you know, I shouldn't cook his dinner. And the Lord reminded me, what are you trying to do? See, you're trying to punish him for something, you know? And so the Lord put in my heart, no, you need to stay steady as a believer. Even if you know you're right and your spouse is wrong, we have to walk in faith. We have to walk in
faith. Right?
Very seldom are the husbands ever right now. Just, yeah, a little bit. I've seen all the sisters out there that are married say about this man. Much.
Wow. Well, I'm going to leave that alone because we'll be here all night, child. Democrats. We'll be to shut down this thing. So you can't participate. I'm telling you the truth. And this is serious because you're going to hear stuff. You're going to see stuff.
I wouldn't tell you.
For the world is mine and all its fullness. God don't need you.
There's some things you shouldn't tell people. Walk in faith with you. And sometimes even you think they have some faith, you better know if they have some or not.
Because you can
because
hurt
I've
people, too.
Decided there are some things I've made as a decision. Want to say, well, agree with us. I want you to ever pray for us as
that's right.
Because we have said, you know, we have
don't be praying
said,
for me.
Please
no other
agree,
way.
You know, and we'll tell people start praying some other kind of way. Say, oh, well, that I pray some. No, when we have, you have to be on one accord with that person that you. Whatever it is, they need to be able to really agree that you should have. You have to be careful about it. And that's a powerful scripture to me.
If I were
us,
hungry,
I would tell
in
you.
In quotes, if I were hungry.
To talk to people, or if you're in need or whatever, to share that with people that really loves you, really want to help
right.
you.
That's right. That's right. And that's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing.
You can be
when
crushed.
When you see family members, I'm talking about the family members in the church, when you see what they really, they dropped all their rocks, they just love each other. Ain't got no crazy motive and stupid stuff they're doing. Ain't doing stuff to be able, you know, like they you know, tit for tit. Over this way and doing, it'll roll down the little conveyor belt and then, you know, they don't get what I need. They're just doing things because they love people.
Let me tell you a little secret. And then this is in the last days. And that's Revelation. We need to go to that scripture because I'll tell you, look, we have to become like Jesus, where we care so much about other people
yeah.
that aren't something out of them. And seeing marriages are better like that too, yeah. where the not trying to get something from him. What they're a good marriage, how you can develop a good you're trying to do everything to give to him, and he's trying to do everything
That's
to give
right.
to you.
That's right. That's right.
About love and you know, just to each other in way of emotional support. You're there to take it all. You're there to give.
See, and
we're givers.
If you're going to become bold about your children and taking care of them, you're going to be bold about tithing and giving. Now see, and people listen to us teach about tithing all the time. You tithe for now. Not when you were cruising. Not when the country didn't have any threats. And this thing might be over now. I mean, but I'm just saying, you tithe so that you can be consistent in the good times and the bad. Gift
scattering.
Makes room for you. See, you should have already been planting some seed to where your gifts are making room. You don't care if they shut the whole thing down until next July.
I mean, you may care, but
I don't.
You're not.
Citizenship. Of God. And you've got to live off of that economy, not off the economy of this
right.
kingdom, the United States of America, or if you're from China, wherever you're from, you need to live off the kingdom of God's economy, where the windows of heaven are open for you, not because they didn't shut the windows of the government.
Well,
some people ain't going to get a check
if
this
one
keeps on. Some people are
up.
Not going to get the food they need. If this keeps on, some will not get whatever. But then again, once it opens up, don't you forget God. And see, they make you tithe all the time. You already paid your tithes to the government. And they still shut down on you. It's not a tenth. It's a 15th. About 15% of your income goes minimum to the government. Go ahead.
Let's say a big amen on that. Okay. Let's read just a little more because we're going to close up, okay? Ephesians chapter 4, we've been talking about calling. And then in verse number 7, it says, and he gave gifts to men. And then verse number 11, I'm just going to read it real quick, Kyle, just because of time. And he himself gave some, and we'll talk about this next time we get together, and he himself gave some to be apostles. We've been talking about Paul is calling us apostle, some prophets, some event, and we'll break this down next time we get together, and some pastors and teachers. Here it goes. For the equipping of the saints.
Yep.
For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We should be building up the body of Christ till we all come to the unity of the faith. That there's one God. Remember, we just read that. There's one God. There's one Father. There's one faith.
No denominations.
In Jesus Christ. That's right. Until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. To a perfect, or that word means mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer, turn to your neighbor and say, no longer, be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine.
Ooh.
See, so many people, they listen to all this YouTube, all these different preachers, they don't know what kind of lifestyle they're living on, and they're carried away with all these different doctrines and stuff. And we've heard some crazy things of kids getting all messed up in their head because there are false prophets on those sites and stuff.
Parents
telling them
to
sell everything and do this and do that.
Move
so
to
you,
Texas
we
all
should
of a
not
sudden.
Be as children tossed to and fro, carried with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love. Do you see that? So it's not hate when we speak the way we do. It's love because we love you. We don't want you messed up. May grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ. from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part
does
his share. That's why this whole church, every one of you have a part to serve in this church, to give in this church. Come on.
You ain't no vacationer.
Love in this church.
We're workers. We're servants.
Yeah. Every part does his share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So we all have our part, and we'll go back to all and break down all the evangelists, pastors, and teachers.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Amen.
Now, I want to help you
to
understand.
We're going to go ahead and get ready to close now.
Right. Here we go. This is the last part here. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Now, he gave some. He didn't give a lot. He didn't give a gazillion. You need to thank God for those that are fivefold ministry called people. Now, we just entered into the month of appreciation, and I ain't going to back it down. You need to appreciate what your pastor, your ministers in your life, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, what they do to be able to be the gifts to you.
There it is in the Bible, once again, verse number 8, if you read that, the last line, and gave gifts to men. And you need to really see
women to men.
We are gifts to the body of Christ. Given by God himself, Jesus Christ.
This was God's idea to be able to bless you, is to give you
and
somebody
you.
That you should be able to see as a gift.
Yep.
Now, that doesn't mean they're God. They're people just like you are. They got their own quirks and situations, but pray for me and her in the spirit, because I don't need your opinion. Lord, he looks stressed out. Help him, God. Help God, he's stressed. Oh, stressed. Stop putting that stress on me. I have the anointing to carry what I'm carrying. Okay? God, he looked like they worried. He looked like they worried about stuff. God, help him. Shut up and pray in the spirit. Oh, God, he looked a little weary yesterday. He looked sick. God, help him with the sickness. I ain't got no sickness. Okay? God, help their marriage. They look like they're falling to pieces.
His eyes are red.
His eyes, man. God, help him to get some sleep. Put him to sleep for 2-3 days. Shut up. See, we need to pray in the spirit, because the Bible says we know not what we should pray for as we ought to.
And that's really talking about intercessory, interceding. So we pray in the spirit because we're going to pray the prayer.
Now, let me say this. This has to be taught, or else you won't know what to do. You will treat your pastor like a dog.
Mm-hmm. And he's a gift.
When he's a gift. It's like you've been believing for something for Christmas for 50,000 years. And it finally shows up under the tree, and you take the tree and the gift and throw it in the garbage can. That's stupid. El estupido. Speaking Spanish to you. I don't know what that is. But see, we ought to thank God. My pastor, Dr. Frederick K.C. Price, Apostle Price, I thank God I was able to travel with him. We went to Israel with him. We went to New Orleans. I remember we was down in New Orleans in that gumbo. We went to New Orleans with him. I mean, we went to Alaska with him. We went to Rome. We went to Italy. I mean, we went to Malta. We went to all these places, not just sitting and just watching. We stayed in his home several times. We was in his home when my daughters were being attacked at school, where they were discriminating against our kids and threatening them. And kids got shot and killed. We were staying in their home, had to get a quick flight out of there. They took us to the airport and got us out of there. I appreciate my pastor.
And he's in heaven now.
And
but
I
we
gave
still
that.
Do.
I blessed that man as much as I could. I blessed him. I thanked God for him. I prayed for him. And when he left this earth to be with the Lord, first of all, I cheered. Thank God, because I know where he's at.
Amen.
But it hurt my heart. And sometimes it does. I just cry over. But I was going through that. Yeah, I was poisoned. But you need to know that you have gifts. Now, we're bringing in special guests this week. Evangelist, pastor, teacher, at least. And then his wife, somewhat prophetic, but a teacher as well. You don't need to act like you can throw them in a trash can along with the Christmas tree.
Folks, I'm telling you now.
You need to come out.
I'm telling you now. This is God has something for us. You don't want to miss him, but you want to bless other people. So I wrote this down because the Lord told me to write it down. Invite many. Don't miss this opportunity to invest in your spirit, okay? And so I'm telling you now, I just reached out to Brenda today, and they're excited.
You just
and they
called just me
wanna,
yesterday.
They just want to be a blessing.
That's it.
And I believe they will be. And it's going to be an all-date event, okay? I think we're finished preaching,
yes, we
right?
Are. We are.
Yeah, so praise God.